message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Father, I pray that we will not live the same way we came. Let there be light. Let there be light. And let there be light. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Take your Bibles and remain standing. And good morning. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us for the very first time. I pray that you'll have a good time in the presence of God, or you have already started having a good time. Praise the Lord. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read verse something somewhere. Verse 3. Therefore hear, O Israel. Verse 4, sorry. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. I will move down, actually, 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment." May the Lord speak to us this morning.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. I have never in a long time suffered with a message like this one. I never thought in my lifetime tithes and offerings would become a problem to where you have to research. I have researched to where my brain wants to come out, but I have pushed it back. So today we are talking about abundance towards God. Giving to God. I promise you, we did all the others so we could come to this point. So today we shall be looking at giving to God, and we shall be looking at it through the lenses of an abundance mentality. I have built my case for the past 10 weeks to come to today, that your tithes and offerings or giving to God should not be a struggle. If you have an abundance mentality, if you believe that giving does not reduce you, but it adds to you, if you believe that there is more from where this one came from. So I have tried to build that case. Now, I wanted to approach it from an abundance mentality because there is a fear that hits everybody when it comes to giving. It's like, if I give that this 10%, I will not have enough. But I want you to think of what God gave you, or what God has given you, and how God has given to you. I do not think that God sat in the heavens and said, if I give them this, what will happen to heaven? If I release this to her or to him, I will not have any more. Rather, our God gives exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's how God has given. God has given us all things lavishly to enjoy. The Bible says that he has giving us all that pertains to life and godliness. Now, if there is nothing to prove that case, how many of you can say that the air I breathe is in abundance and is free? And you don't have to go looking for it. It's there consistently. That should give you an indication of how God gives. God has given you a heart that has been beating for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. It hasn't stopped. That's how God gives. If we took care of our bodies, our teeth, our everything will be intact till we died. So everything God does is in abundance. God has given us salvation freely. God has given us everything freely. In reciprocation, we are supposed to give him the same way. We are supposed to give him the same way in abundance. You know, when the worshiper came this morning and said, I don't know what you came here with this morning. I shouted, I came here with joy. I came here with peace. I came here with love. God has, you don't have to come with trouble to church every time. You are not a carrier of trouble, of sadness, of sorrow. No, God has given you better things than that. And so we have chosen where we want our mind. So your mind has stayed on the 5,000, 50,000, 100,000 naira you need. But you have forgotten that God has given you health. There are people with 10 million now. They are in the hospital. They can't do anything with that money. And so all the time you must celebrate what God has given us. And God has given us good things and given us in abundance. So I refuse to come to church miserable. I refuse to carry any negativity to church. No, because God has given me so. There's so much more to thank God for than to complain about. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver of praise. A cheerful giver of love. A cheerful giver of time. A cheerful giver of their intellect, their minds. God loves whatever you are doing, do it joyfully. Because whatever he's giving you, he's not giving you complaining, he's giving you smiling. And the least we can do is to return whatever we give to him with a smile. Amen? So whatever we give to God must be from a heart full of joy, a heart full of love, of gratitude, of respect and honor to him. I don't know about you, but God has done so much for me that he does not deserve any complaint or grudge from me. God does not deserve any nonsense from me. Is that the case with you? He doesn't deserve you complaining, murmuring, crying. No, he deserves some joy. It's like a child, the father has done everything. The father and mother have given. And every day this child is miserable. I remember when I was a child, I would just wake up some days and cry. I was just miserable. My mother will beat me on top of it. Because who wants a miserable, raggedy child around them? It gives us pleasure when our children run around and are happy, isn't it? Is that the case? Doesn't it give you pleasure when your children are all over the parlor just dancing and sweating for nothing, for just joy? That's how God wants us to be. So in this abundance mentality, we are going to change everything we do, the way we do everything to God. God is not asking you to give him what he hasn't given you. God is not asking you to do more than he has done for you. All God deserves is at least give him small of what he has given you. Okay, I need to be moving today. So yes, we are going to be talking about, actually we are going to be answering a question. Should the New Testament believer tithe? It's all over the internet. And in my study, I can't tell you how many men of God have listened to what I have read, what I have dug in. I found out that every 20 or 30 years cycle, there is a challenge of certain doctrines of the Bible. It shocked me. Once in a while, so this is not new. Tithes have been challenged before, they will be challenged again. But nothing that challenges the word of God stands. The word of God rather stands. It cannot be moved. So we are going to be asking the question today, should Christians tithe? And next week, by the grace of God, I'm just going to enter into tithing in the New Testament, if there is tithing at all. But before I start talking about those, before I answer these questions, let me start by saying the three most important things God wants you to give him. The three most important things God wants you to give him. And he wants you to give him out of your free will. He has given them to you, but he wants you to make the choice to give it back to him. Just like you can give a child a bowl of rice or some sweet. You have given him and then you stretch your hands and say to the child, give me. And some children will refuse. They will refuse with anger. They will, especially those, the littler they are, the smaller they are, the more vehement they are. No, they won't give you. And you look at them and look at this little child that I gave this thing to. But then the older they are, the more they know that if they give you, you're going to give more. So they know that it's just a setup. So there are three most important things God wants from you. And the first thing God wants from you is you. It's you. God wants to own you completely. God wants to own your spirit. He wants to own your soul. He wants to own your intellect, your emotions. Auntie Grace, it's too early to sleep. Sorry. No sleep. Try. Amen. And nobody should sleep. Auntie Grace, I walked. I've been awake since yesterday morning to now. So, God wants to own your emotions. God wants to own your body. God wants to own your heart. He wants your spirit, your soul, your body, your emotions, your intellect. He wants your heart. God wants your heart. All of it. Nothing God gives you is half and half. He gives you all. Guess what? He wants all. He wants your body to be a living sacrifice to him. He wants you to use your body as an instrument of righteousness on earth for him. When you are sleeping with a man who is not your husband, you are sharing your body with God. You are sharing your body with the devil, and God does not want it. If you are married to a woman and you are sleeping with another girl somewhere, God does not own you. If you are using your body for alcohol, drugs, whatever is unholy, you are not giving yourself to God. If you are using your brain to craft evil or participate in evil, God doesn't own you. If you are using any part of your body for evil, whether your hands, there are some of you sitting there, you are kidnappers. You are against God. There are thieves sitting amongst us. There are prostitutes sitting amongst us. And it's fantastic that you come to church and keep coming. One day God will change you. But that is not the purpose for which you were created. God wants you. God wants everything. God wants you all to himself and does not want to share you with anyone or anything. God does not want to share you with your computer. He does not want to share you with your car. He does not want to share you with any object or any human being. No human being should stop you or control how you worship God. So God wants your loyalty. He wants your devotion, your allegiance, your attention. He wants your commitment. He wants your worship. He wants your everything. That is the first thing you are going to give God. Please look at me. If you don't give God yourself, he doesn't want anything else. It's like a man who is walking, or following women. And once in a while, he brings some money, bam. You say, no, it's not. It's you I want. I don't want these things. I want to see you at home. So if God does not have you, he doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your sacrifice. He doesn't want anything. It's you he wants. God wants you completely. He wants a one-on-one relationship with us. He wants to be our priority, our focus, and our only choice. How many of you want to be in bed with your husband or your wife and they are chatting with another man on their telephone? Or they are talking to you and you are half listening because you are talking to somebody else. You will fight that evening. Same thing with God. God can do without your money, but he can't do without you. But if you refuse to give yourself to God, he can do without you. God can do without you. You can't do without God. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, can God have you? Can God have you? All of you to himself. He gave himself all completely and totally for you. Can he have you? Number two, God wants your obedience. He wants you to obey the written word, the Bible. He wants you to completely yield to the leading, the guidance, and the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, whatever God wants you to tells you, he wants you to obey him. 100% obedience, not partial obedience, not when I feel like it obedience, not when it makes sense to me obedience, or when it suits my fancy. Menene? tickled my fan. Thank you. When I knew, when it tickled, no, not that kind of obedience. Not the obedience that negotiates, what am I going to get from it? But a straightforward, clean obedience. Go, you go. Sit, you sit. Don't do it, you don't do it. I hate it when people keep offending and offending and offending and saying, sorry, sorry, sorry. You are not sorry. If you are... Airpeace. Every flight you enter, they are apologizing. I don't want them to apologize. Keep quiet. Just carry us 6 hours later and be quiet. Knowing that we have no other choice. Every aircraft you enter, they say an apology. Am I lying? They are not repentant. Because if you repent, you won't do it again. So when you keep fornicating and stealing and cheating and fighting and being ugly and all and keep repenting, you are not repentant. And so God just looks at you. He loves you, but he wishes you lived a better life. Okay, I need to move. Number three, God wants your worship. God wants your adoration, your praise, your glorification, your thanksgiving, your dancing, your reverence, your veneration. He wants your exaltation and your esteem. He wants you to bow down to none other but him alone. God wants your praise. So these are the three most important things God wants from you before your money. And if you're not going to give him any of these three, keep your money. So there are some of you that gave an offering today, but it doesn't mean anything to God. We will use the money, but there's nothing. Bam, funny for you. Because you have not given yourself to God. Your heart is not with God. Your worship is not for him. You have disobeyed everything. Some of you sitting down here right now, if they carry your telephone, pornography and other women and other men will shock you. Some of you are here, you're homosexuals, you're lesbians, and you bring an offering, or you come to sing. No, God does not want that. God wants you to be one, that everything you are doing is consistent with him, from top to bottom. There are some of you sitting down here, there is weed in your bag and in your pocket. So how can weed and the Holy Spirit compete? Because the Holy Spirit is supposed to do the work of that weed. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the one to do that work, not weed. Alcohol. Some of you have condoms. It's the Holy Spirit that protects, not a condom. And I've always said it in this church, the only thing you cannot live without is air. You can live without sex. Search me. You can live without sex. You don't have to have sex. Mm-mm. Okay, I'm going to try not to be tempted. So God wants your heart, your soul, your obedience. And if he cannot get any of those things, he can't have you. Let me tell you something. If your body is not with God, your money is not with God. If your heart is not with God, your money is not with God. In other words, where your money is, that is where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where your money is. But your money and the ajagbadantis before God, what he wants is you. God wants me. And I'm so thankful to have him. I was watching a program yesterday, an Oprah Winfrey little thing. Once in a while, when I get tired, I enter into the bush and look at some things. And I saw a program where she had this thing with the nuns. And how the nuns make a vow to marry Jesus. How you become a nun. It was beautiful. These little girls decide, some at the age of 16, to just go in there to marry Jesus and to be chaste. No more sex, nothing. They collect their telephone, their everything. They collect everything. They enter the clothes they go to, into the government, to wherever. They send it back and they put new clothes on them. Much as we look at them and we think, oh, it's Roman Catholicism, there is some value in it. There is some purity and beauty in it. I'm telling you, there's some beauty in it. So God called Abraham. For God to walk with Abraham, he had to call him out first. God had to collect Abraham for himself. He removed him from his people and from his country. And Abraham started a walk with God. Abraham worshipped God. Wherever Abraham went, before he kept his load and he built an altar to worship God. And Abraham obeyed God immediately. immediately after he got an instruction. And Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. At least he did it once. So when you sing about Abraham's blessings are mine, go back and look at Abraham's life. How did Abraham connect with God? That is my point. Nothing comes cheap. If you want Abraham's blessings, do Abraham's sacrifice. If you want to be a friend of God like Abraham, do like Abraham did. Abraham obeyed God to where when God was going to destroy some people, he called Abraham. I need help today, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Helhira, help me. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning the things, no, second, is it first or second? That's not. 2 Corinthians, let's try 2 Corinthians here and see. 8. I think that is it. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, abundance of their joy, abundance of their joy. See, Christians have no business with depression and sadness. God has so done so much that we cannot give him back sadness and misery and negativity. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. I just wanted that phrase there, that their giving abounded towards God, but they first gave themselves. Your giving is an extension of you. It's more than just money in an envelope. It is, what is your attitude? What is your attitude? So these people gave to God, but they gave themselves first. So let me go to the tithes and offerings. Should the New Testament believer give tithes? Should the New Testament believer give tithes? Remember that what I have established is that God wants you first. So I have listened to Kenneth Copeland. I went to our line, our ancestral line, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Egan, Creflo Dollar, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis. I listened to all those people today, this week. That's all I did this week, especially from yesterday. I listened to one old man who was saying, him by himself was confusing himself, but God helped me to listen to him to the end. I entered the internet, I searched, I read. Should Christians in the New Testament give tithes? So I want to start by saying that from the beginning of time and the existence of men, there has been an inbuilt consciousness to give to God from the beginning. I began to look at the history from 573 AD. The issue of tithes started from all nations, every denominations, eerie, denominations I didn't even know existed. They have one form of giving or the other. All through time. Now, people have always sacrificed and given to gods they didn't know or couldn't see. You remember in Athens, they said to the unknown god. They were making sacrifices to the unknown god. So there has been an inbuilt consciousness in man to give to God. And in the African tradition, people have always given a portion of what they were eating to the gods. When they are drinking, they pour some on the ground. To the gods we didn't know. So giving is with humanity. Men have to give. And so God gave me a breakthrough when I came up. Normally when I'm teaching anything, I want to hear what Mensah Otabel had to say. And I listened yesterday and he taught me. And so this is a combination of all these people you are hearing today and the word of God. Because, you know, at first I just said to Pastor Wilson, I'm just going to preach what we have always preached. He had pushed me one text and said, listen to this from our father. And I said, I wasn't going to listen. But then later I just said, you know what, let me listen. And I did more than that. I listened to a lot. So this is the combined wisdom of all of them. There are certain things that I knew but couldn't articulate. One of them articulated it for me. So we are going to look at tithing and giving to God in the Bible. We are going to cut from Genesis to Revelation. Now there have been four eras of life. Before the law, during the time of Jesus Christ, or during the time of the Gospels and the New Testament church. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the New Testament church. The New Testament church starts from Acts of Apostles. Do you understand? So next week, I'm going to start from Acts of Apostles. I'm going to try in 13 minutes, I don't know how that is going to happen, to tell you how giving has progressed from the Old Testament. So I'm not going to even read the scriptures because my time is fast spent. But I like what Mensa Otterbell does. He always goes to Genesis to get the law of first mention. The law of first mention. Where was giving first mentioned? It was in Genesis, between Cain and Abel. You know, how many of you know the story of Cain and Abel? Let me see. How many of you don't know the story of Cain and Abel? Please go home and read it. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. You will see the story there. So the two of them give an offering, and one is accepted, one is rejected. Why was Abel's offering accepted? Because it was quality and it was quantity. For the first time, Yakubu, I saw that he gave the firstborn from the flock. And on Mensa Otterbell, explain what the flock is. The flock is more than just cows. You can have a flock that has cows, you have goats, you have sheep, and sometimes you see chickens following around the compound. So what Mensa Otterbell from his study, some of them just study and I reap from them. He took, they lifted up from somewhere. Everybody's copying from everybody. But we're all going back to the word of God. He talked about how Cain took the best of the sheep, the best of the ram, the best of all of them. Abel, and sacrificed. And that one just went and did jaga jaga and came. The point being that, and the Bible says that God accepted Abel first, and then he sacrificed. So it is not, God will judge you first before your offering. He will judge your heart first before your offering. So the question now, and this they did before tithing. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? Because he gave the best and he gave plenty. He gave all, a tithe of all. I'm going to skip, I'm going to jump. I'm not even going to try and preach there because there is a lot to preach there. That no matter which era you are, how much you give and what you give matters to God. And as I slept over this and thought in the night, everybody who has given a lot and with all their heart, God did something spectacular in their lives. You say, how did you know that that Abel's sacrifice was received? Because the result showed. It must have shown to where Cain got angry and killed his brother. And Otterbill make the point that they are in a church, there are always people who are angry with people who give. They don't give, but they are angry. And so they will always complain about people who give. And so all those people writing those stuff in the internet, they will not give and they are stopping you from giving. May you not listen to any of them. May God never allow you to sit and in the council of the ungodly. That is an ungodly council. Amen. So we move from there to Noah. These are people between Cain and Abel and Noah was many years. And Noah comes out from the ship, from the boat, and he comes out. Remember that the animals were limited. But he sacrificed, the Bible says he sacrificed from all the animals. He took from every animal, meaning that maybe some species were extinct or some of these animals gave birth in the boat. And he killed it. So there are certain sacrifices you make that God will do some things. Because after Noah gives up those animals, the rainbow comes out. And God makes a covenant. I will never destroy the earth and this. And as long as I live there, it will be seed time and harvest. It's in Genesis chapter 8. Read all of that to verse 22. Then we come to Abraham. That is all before the law. And Abraham comes. He does some of the things I tell you. And then there were two sacrifices Abraham made. The first one was when he brought a pigeon, a ram, list the things. He brought a heifer, a female goat, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Remember when he said, God, I don't have a child, and blah, blah, and God said, just bring those things. He brings them, cuts them into two, puts them side by side, and made a passage. He just didn't divide the chicken, and then God walks through it in the evening, saying that if I do not keep my word, let me be scattered and pieces like these things lying on the ground. that there are certain gifts you make that God will swear. And then, of course, you remember when God, when he gave up Isaac, I'm running now. You remember the story of Abraham laying Isaac on the altar to give him up? That was a sacrifice to God. But then also there's a story of Abraham in chapter 14 of Genesis meeting Melchizedek after he had conquered that war and had the loot, the plunder. The Bible says he gave Melchizedek an offering of all. And when he was giving that offering, Levi was in his loins. Because it was from him, Levi was going to come. So Levi gave tithes to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a manifestation or a type of Jesus Christ. Because we will see that next week. So Abraham gave tithes and tithes to Melchizedek, who is a type or a representation of Jesus Christ. There's a big word there for it that I don't even want to bother. That's the explanation of that big word, the explanation I just gave you. Between Cain and Abel and the law was close to 600 years. So there was grace before the law. And under the era of grace, where these people operated, Noah, Cain, Abel, and Abraham, there was grace and they gave lavishly. You also remembered when Solomon gave to God. Do you remember? The many bloody sacrifice. How God spoke to him that night and said, what do you want? And Abraham told him, I want wisdom. You remember that? Solomon, thank you. You're listening. I'm rushing. So after that era, we now come to Moses. Between Moses and Abraham, and this person is 600 years, and God gave them the law. So there is this tabernacle is built, and there is corporate worship, and there is a need to maintain that worship and to take care of everybody in Israel. And God said, you must bring the tithe. That is in, I must read this one, Leviticus. This is the law on tithing. Leviticus chapter 27. Put it up for me, Madani, Helhira. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Everybody read it. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, who said this? Who said this? Who said it? Does God change? Does God make haphazard pronouncements? Does God say things that he will change his mind later on? So hold this point because I'm going to talk to you later about it. But this was the law. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord. And Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 32. Put it up on the Helgira. Deuteronomy 14, 32. Verse not found. Hallelujah. Okay, somebody look for it and help me to know what I'm looking for. So there is that verse. How about Numbers 26? 18:26. I hope that verse is found. Numbers. Speak thus to the Levites. And say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. So this was how they were supposed to operate. When you find that verse in Deuteronomy, let me know, the law. Look at verse 4. I said 32. But it's something about the law. I must have written the wrong thing. But the point is that this was when the law was given in the wilderness. Before then, they were already giving to God. And now he tells them, bring a tithe. You know what I like about the tithe? It just takes guesswork out of this matter. It just streamlines, it makes everything easy for you. Or it made it easy for them. It has made it easy for us until now. Because should New Testament believers tithe? I will answer that in a little or later tomorrow. That is it. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. That was the law. So the children of Israel operated and still operate on this law, and we just came and followed suit. Because later, years later, they backslid, and the prophet Malachi came and said, bring ye all the tithe. You have robbed me, you these people. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Am I running? Are you following this matter? Okay. So as they backslided, is it, what is the right word? Both of them? You know the word. As that thing happened, the Malachi the prophet comes and said, let's read it. This is under the law. Malachi chapter 3. I'm sure all of you can say that from your head, isn't it? Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Underline that in your Bible. I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Did the nations call Abraham blessed? How many of you would still like to get the blessings that come from that verse, even though it's Old Testament? That you want the devourer to be rebuked. That you want God to open the windows of heaven. Whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New, I want that blessing. If you say the same, say amen.
Amen.
So, we come to the New Testament 400 years later. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John begin. And they are still operating under the law. So under the law, if truly they were operating under the law, then Jesus must have given tithes. Or else he will be outside of the law. He will be outside the will of God. And since he went to the synagogue every week, he gave. He gave. So this is now my part. A lot of it, you don't want to know, but just trust me. And I'm rushing because it's a lot of, I left this information at home, like this much. So I'm thinking, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, it has been said before that you shall not commit adultery. But whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery. You remember those? He upped the game. He said, you have been told if this person knocks your teeth, knock two of his out. Tooth for tooth. He said, but you shall not do that. Rather, turn your cheeks and turn this way. You have been told that if this happened, do this and that and that. So Jesus did not come to condemn the law. He took it that grace was going to make it possible for you to do the impossible. That grace was going to make it possible for you to turn your cheeks when somebody slaps you. That grace was going to make you to forgive somebody who does not deserve your forgiveness. That grace was going to do things that the law could not allow you to do. And so I'm thinking that, I don't know why Jesus didn't say it, but I'm thinking that he would have said, you have been told of old that you should tithe 10%. But I say to you, tithe the 10%, but do justice and this, add to that 10%. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Let's look at it. Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you have tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So you should have done the tithing, you should have done the justice and the mercy. You should do all. For the New Testament believer, whatever the law said, Jesus did not come to clean it. He came to up it to the next level. And so giving should be to the next level. Should the New Testament believer tithe? No. No. He can't tithe. Because he's been saved by grace. Because he's been forgiven. Because in the Old Testament, he tithed because he was going to be cursed. Jesus removed the curse. So if Jesus removed the curse, does he deserve just 10%? If Jesus saved us from bringing Imagine some of you, if you were to bring a goat every time you committed sins, there would be no more goats in Nigeria. There will be no cows, there will be no chicken. In fact, we will sacrifice lizards and snails. Even that will not be enough. And so Jesus Christ comes and frees us from all those sacrifices. Are we going to give him 10%? I didn't say anything yet. I'm just asking questions. Don't answer quickly, because this matter, when you go to the internet, don't say it's Pastor. Say we said, all of us said yes. But are you understanding this matter? So if it used to be like this in the Old Testament, it has been said. But now, did Jesus tithe? Yes, because he went to the synagogue and he operated under the law. The Bible says, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And so Jesus Christ dotted all his I's and T's on the law. And when he hung on that day on the cross, he said, it is finished. Everything about the law is finished. Tithing is finished. Tithing under the law is finished. Tithing as a duty is finished. Doing certain things as a duty is finished. So now there is a new dispensation. So now he dies and goes to heaven, but he gave gifts to men. He raised some to be apostles and pastors and all of that. You will see all of that next week. But I hope I have made the case that through the eras, there has always been giving to God. Amen? So let me conclude this way. That God never changes. He does not improve or get better. God does not get better. And if he has said something, it's forever settled in heaven. So, I'm not going to jump. I'm going to try. His values and principles do not change, though the practice may differ. Tithing and offering will not change, but how we do it changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And according to Mensah Otterbill, he does not make erratic demands only to change his mind later. No. He thinks through everything and says it. And once he says it, it is settled forever. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet your husband's, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's car, your neighbor's whatever. Has it changed? Has it changed? The law as to don't do this, don't do that, ceased when Jesus came, but Jesus replaced it. You shall love your neighbor like yourself. And if you love your neighbor, you won't kill him. You won't commit adultery. You won't do this. So the bottom line is that God's word does not change. If it's in the old, it's in the new. The only thing that changed in the Old Testament was all the sacrifices that the Bible says that through the one sacrifice of Jesus is settled forever. All who have been condemned. But every other thing as a principle and as a law exists. We're just going to do it differently. So as I close with this statement that under the law, you were cursed if you did not tithe. But under grace, Christ was cursed for you. So you cannot be cursed even if you don't tithe. The Bible says it's impossible for anybody to curse what God has blessed. And if God has blessed you, whether you tithe or not, you are not cursed. And you are loved. That calls for a clapping. Everybody should thank God for that. So I know somebody says, thank God, I don't have to tithe. Under the law, you give out of necessity and duty. But under grace, you give out of love and gratitude for what Christ has done. Under the law, you pay tithe as a burden, as a bill. Under grace, you sow a seed because you remember that seed time and harvest will not end. Abraham paid tithe under grace. And there was no law then. I want to say to you this morning that tithing didn't go away after the law. We just go about it these days a different way and with a different attitude. Under grace, you are not giving because you are afraid of the curse. You are giving because you love God and you are grateful for what he has done for you. So giving is an expression of thanks. Because when you remember what Jesus has done for you, when you remember where he has brought you from, when you remember your pedigree, negative pedigree. When you remember where you used to be, what you used to eat, who you used to be, what you used to do, who you used to serve, and you remember now that he has lifted you and set you upon a rock, made your head correct, put some good clothes on you, gave you a beautiful husband, a beautiful wife, gave you children you do not deserve, gave you a position you did not dream of, brought you to this city and gave you a name. When you remember that, you give to him not out of duty, but out of gratitude. I want one single person to put their hands together and bless the Lord. Tithing is not a debt I owe, but a seed I sow and a love I express. I will keep tithing because it works. I will give to God out of respect. I will give to God because of his love and his blessings. I will give to God because he loves me. He loves me. I will give to God because he saved me. I will give to God because he blessed me. I will give to God because he favored me. How many of you know that you've been favored? May I know I've been favored? Hallelujah. I will give to God because I honor him and because I trust him. And next week, by the grace of God, we shall enter tithing proper in the New Testament. Stand up, let's go home.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.